I saw him, he was making one out of that. I don't know what tree they call, you know, it's a tree, bears a fruit about, like orange, about this size. I don't know what that is.
And
oh, I got the string up there, but I didn't bring it.
Well, you're thinking of the mock orange tree.
Maybe that's, it's got the, what you call, stickers on the branches.
It's not a native tree, is it?
I don't know where it come from. I know it used to grow.
If it produces orange-like fruit.
Yeah, big ones like that. Yeah, yeah, green and then turns yellow.
Yeah, that's mock orange, and that is a standard thing to make bows out of, but not by natives, because it didn't grow here originally. But in the more modern times, natives have used it. I've forgotten what the name of the plant was, but it seemed to me that there was a tree or brush that grew out from Laguna that was called Dieppe or something like that, that they used for making either bows or arrows, and I think it was the bow. And I got this information a number of years ago and I published it. It's in El Palacio, one of the old reports. And that indicates what that kind of wood was, as I recall it too. It would be worth checking and see if it's the same thing.
Yeah. If I had thought of those things a long time, I would have found a lot of things, you see. Yeah. Because this is one man that, he was the last of the antelope hunters. He would know, see, what they make them out of, you know, even the arrows too, see.
The arrows are usually made out of a patch of plume, aren't they?
Yeah.
They say it's much bigger and a lot longer, see, for those bows, you know.
For the long bows.
Yeah.
And for the short bows.
Yeah.
So, now, this bow, I got at Hopi, and it is a little old one that apparently was scraped, and it looks to me as if it was a child's size. Do you think that would have been for a child or for hunting rabbits?
No, it's a child's for pumped rabbits or maybe just a present brought by the Kachinas. Yeah.
It's the same style as yours.
Yeah, for kids. Kirk's size. When I was a kid, they used to use a lot of bow and arrows.
About 6 years or so?
Yeah, they go out, you know, along the mesa there.
Uh-huh.
Especially about this time when it's not too cold for rabbits. Yeah, kids will go out there and they'll have a story to tell and they come back and I saw one but I didn't hit it or I hit it but I didn't hit it good enough to kill it, or you know how the kids are. Yeah.
Did any of them really manage to kill rabbits?
I don't know.
At that age?
Maybe not. It takes a little older. Unless if you've got a real good eye and happen to see him laying under the brush close enough, he could, yeah. If he has done a lot of shooting already enough to know how to handle it. A lot of them know how to handle it. Because they play games with him. What they even bet their arrows against one another. So.
Oh.
They take this yucca plant, you know, and cut it at the bottom, and then they double the whole thing up and tie it in a, or just in a, about that long, see, in a bundle like that, you know. And now one will throw it the distance, what he first, where he's going to start off, maybe the distance at the door. And then they shoot at it. I don't know how they play that in before one wins. Maybe one that hits it the most, I guess. Because I never was at the home too much yet when I was still a boy.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Where were you?
Here, school.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why I missed lots of things. And then, but after I quit school, then I began to see those things, you know, boys play. Even men, they play that game, and they're really good at it. Yeah. Men, of course, they throw much further than men. And I think the one that is about to win, he throws that thing in the air with the arrow on it. Yet, if one hits it and the arrow doesn't fall off, then he really is a winner.
The idea is to throw this thing into the air, mm-hmm. have somebody shoot at it while it's in the air, and have it come down. It's a little like skeet shooting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It would give good practice, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did they bet on this?
Oh, their arrows, yeah.
I bet that they're
arrows. Yeah. Oh, some of them have a big bundle by the time they are about ready to quit.
Yeah, that's like marbles.
Yeah.
Did the arrows have metal tips, or were these just
Well, the ones, of course, that I seen, that'll be, you see, they have metal tips, yeah. Because there used to be a Spanish blacksmith at the village. He stayed there all the time, they say. Yeah. He fixed their wagons after the wagons began to have that iron rim. You know? Yeah, he also, I think, helped to fix those wooden wheels. Yeah. He stayed over at he had his blacksmith shop at the jailhouse. That's where that Doris got all that brand of the Pueblo, see, cattle and horse brands, it's all fired and burned into that
in the door of the jailhouse?
Yeah, because that's where he had his blacksmith. Pedro Paiso, I think that's his name.
Pedro Paiso.
Yeah. I didn't get to see him. Maybe I did see him because the way they tell my father says, oh yeah, you know, you seen him, but you can't remember, he was still too small.
He lived in the Pueblo?
He stayed there all the time, yeah.
Was he married
family.
To a Pueblo woman?
No.
Just
he had a Spanish
American.
Name, yeah. And when anything in the ceremony comes up, well, they notify him, see. And either he goes and comes down to Bernalillo for the time, see. Yeah, or if he's gonna stay up there, well, he'd stay inside during the daytime.
So he cooperated well.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, you see, he's one of the best Spanish that ever stayed there and tried to help out when he worked. He doesn't charge too much for what he fixes for them. See. That plow points, you know those. Just the half points.
Yes.
Yeah, he made a lot of them there for him. Because it's just those wooden plows, you know, that they make themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of the scrub oak, what they call it around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get if you happen to find one with a solid fork branch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good for those, you see. Good to see, yeah. And then they flatten the one that's supposed to go to the ground, they flatten it, see. And they put that metal right there to hook it off, fasten on, you know, with a bolt or something. You know. Yeah. And then they just go along there like that.
Yeah. Did you use oxen for pulling
the cart? They said that just about lately, Dora's grandfather, he said that he was still using it when the others were buying the two-handled plow and horses. And
this would bring it up to 1900, probably,
yeah,
more or less.
Yeah, a little after that, I think. Even about in five, somewhere, 1905, around in there. Mm. Yeah, that's it. Oh, he says you ought to hear those over squeaky wagons.
With the wooden wheels?
Wooden wheels, yeah.
Ox carts.
Yeah, and the kids, they carry a lot of bags of those, what weeds grow along the road, you know. Maybe the cedar boughs, you know, they break them off and or those other bushes there, and you bundle them up and they stick them in the wheel between the axle and the wheel. That's to grease the wheel so it won't burn.
Oh, just soft, yeah, vegetable things.
Yeah.
Just I've heard of using cactus for it. That's uh-huh. what the Spanish people used to in the Southwest.
Well, wherever leaf. There's a sure, cactus, that's good, they say.
You used it,
yeah,
too, huh?
Uh-huh. But if none is around, of course, then they cut what's around, see.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of, they used to grow lots of that along the road. It's that something like, what do you call that? You know that milky thing grows so high?
Maybe milkweed?
I think it's some almost like hollyhocks. Almost named something like that. I know, but I think that's the one that's called. I can remember that name. Yeah, they used to grow a lot. The leaves are all long like that, you know. Almost like that. And have little sticker points on the ends.
Oh, Matilly haws. They have a white poppy flower on top.
Yeah.
Don't they?
That's right.
Thistle
poppy. I think, yeah.
Or Matilly haw.
Yeah. Yeah. They
grow on your hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They grow along the road to the pueblo, especially on the sandy part.
Yes.
Part down there.
Yes.
They gather those, you see, and they bundle them up, you know,
uh-huh.
so that wherever there's. When it opens up, you know how they go like that, the ones that are a little worn, and they just poke that stuff in there, and that sort of takes the juice and graces the eggs. Yeah.
What a system.
Yeah.
Well, it works.
And yet, as heavy as that, and then with the load in the fall, you see corn they take up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe someone have only two oxen and pull all that load.
Hmm. From Ranchitos up to Old Pueblo?
Yeah, over those sand dunes, yeah.
Oh my.
Some of course have maybe two pair oxen. Yeah.
To one cart?
Yeah. Yeah, then they can load more. And they, the way he said that, you see along the flat part like that, and they bore holes in it, not long, and stick those the support side sticks, you know, and then they put the side support, the tiny branches on the sides, you know, and build a box out like that, you know. Yeah.
How long did it generally take them to get from Ranchito to Old Village?
All day, I guess, the way it is.
They could make it in one day?
Oh, yeah, half a day maybe.
I thought maybe it would take two or three days. Going through all that sand, it wouldn't surprise me.
What kind of wood did they use to make the wheels, do you know?
I don't know. I don't know what kind. The way that I heard of a man, there was one man at the pueblo, every day he goes along the mesa way up there, I don't know what the name of this place is, and he makes his cart over there, So I figured that maybe if it's not the pine